Good afternoon. I'm Daniel Guest, and welcome to the Imagine Golf Podcast, brought to you by Imagine Golf and PXG. You can go to our site, imaginegolf.com, to see all of our offerings, including our free drills, our practice plans, our golf ebooks and videos. I just put another ebook up there that's pretty good. Or to book a lesson with me at our state-of-the-art studio right outside of Philadelphia, or even virtually anywhere in the world through our partner, thegolfaliveapp.com. And you can sign up for our free tips and videos that go out once a week, every week, by simply dropping us your email. So look, here's a fun podcast for me. They're all fun, but this one is fun because it happens to me almost on a daily basis. It just happened last night, as a matter of fact, returning some phone calls, and it's the dreaded, how many lessons, Daniel, do I need to take? How many is it going to take? And just when you say that out loud, that's a loaded question, right? It's a difficult one to answer at best, and 99% of the time, I've never even seen the person swing. So, any answer that I would give them, other than a few or many, wouldn't be sufficient, if you would. So, what I thought today is what we do on the podcast is just go over some things you should consider before you're taking lessons, right? And if you consider these, and they're in no particular order, but if you consider these things, it'll kind of rein in, if you would, how many lessons you'll probably likely need, right? Doing some research for the podcast, for this episode, if you would, it seems to be that the common consensus in the golf space is 5 lessons. I don't buy into that because everyone's different. Our average student now takes over 10 lessons. And the average industry, person in the industry, the average instructor, their students only take less than three lessons, on average. So, if you follow that math, then our students take 3 times the amount of the industry average. And the average that they put out there is almost double what the, what they recommend actually is almost double what the average person actually takes. So that's probably not good when you say that, when you think about that or say that out loud. So, but anyway, look, here are some things that I came up with that I think are good ideas and things to consider when you're asking that question, right? The first is, look, what are your goals, right? What is the goal? Are you a weekend warrior, right? Just trying to enjoy the game? Do you have a set scoring, goal, if you would, right? You're an 80s golfer and you want to be 70s. You're 120 and you want to break 100. Or are you a competitive golfer, right? Do you want to beat all your friends? Do you want to play in competitions? Do you want to try out in the U.S. Open, if you would? Do you want to be the club champion? That would be a competitive goal, if you would, or examples of some competitive goals. But we definitely need to consider what the goals are. Right. Just by the way, just being more consistent, that's not a goal. That's not defined enough. And everybody is already consistent. You may be consistently inconsistent. I get it. But if I put 10,000 of your shots up on the monitor and I plotted every one, there'd be a pattern there. You'd see a consistent pattern there. And it may be all over the place. I get that. But you get the point. Right. So another thing to consider is the time frame. Right. How much time do you have? How much time are you going to put forward into it, right? We need to have a set time frame around the lesson parameter so we can measure it, right? There's no other way to really accurately measure how good we're doing, or how bad we're doing for that matter, right? But we need a time frame. A week is not long enough. A season might be too long, but we definitely need some type of time frame. What is your budget, right? There's packages out there, I get it, which will save you some money, but what is your budget? If you're going to take one lesson and expect to have significant gains, it's not likely to happen, right? You're going to need more than one lesson unless you're trying to fix something very specific within the golf swing, but you definitely need some type of consistent budget, man. You got to focus on the big picture, man. Focus on that big picture and not get around or get mixed up with quality versus quantity, right? We teach and we only think about quality when it comes to imagine and when it comes to not only our lessons, but your practice. The amount of shots that you hit is not nearly as important as the quality of the shots you hit, right? I always use basketball as an example. You can take 1,000 free throws. Anybody can. And I guarantee you after your 1,000th free throw, say that 10 times, you will be better at shooting free throws. You can take 10,000, 100,000 golf shots and still absolutely stink. So there is no correlation between just hitting shots or quantity, in golf. It's all about the quality of the practice. And I would argue that that's pretty much in almost every sport, but you get the point, right? So focus on that big picture, all right? Be cognizant of your learning style, right? Everyone has one. There are only four of them. And for those of you that know these already, I apologize, but the four learning styles are visual, auditory, the read and write style, and kinesthetic. And if you're a visual person, right, and I recommend a book for you to read, and you haven't read a book in 25 plus years, you're not likely to read it. And even if you do read it, you're not likely to process it because that's not your preferred learning style, right? So we got to marry the lessons, if you would, with the student's preferred learning style. And part of the things that an instructor needs to do and needs to do well is to recognize that learning style and how to start conveying the proper way to the student. Right? Nothing worse than a golf instructor standing behind someone and just saying, hey, do this, do this, do this. And the person is kinesthetic, if you would, where they're touchy-feely. They need to feel things to learn them, right? And yet the instructor's just, auditorily just giving them instructions. It ain't going to work, right? And even if it works temporarily, it's not going to stick. So what is your learning style? Another one is stick to the plan. Any golf instructor who's worth their weight is going to give you a plan. And that plan may not be always going smooth, but we need to stick to that plan. If we marry the plan within the time frame, there you go. Now we have a plan with a goal at the end and a measured specific time frame, if you would, and we're absolutely going to be able to achieve that goal. But stick to the plan no matter what. And that plan should include some type of regular cadence of practice, right? We like to come up with on-ball practice and off-ball practice, I'd imagine, and even throw in some specific exercises here at our studio here. We have a complete gym here, if you would, golf-oriented gym. So, and I should do a whole podcast on that now that I think about it, but you get the idea, right? You could do a ton of exercises specifically to help your golf game. I'm right now nursing a sore back, so I had a friend of mine walk me through some exercises today, and already I feel better. So imagine what you could do if you had a regular golf exercise plan or cadence, if you would, that was in conjunction with your on-ball timer, actually hitting balls. Another thing to consider is ask some questions, right? As you're going through and you're taking lessons, you may not understand every single solitary thing that the instructor is trying to impose, if you would, or impart, I should say. So don't be afraid to ask questions. We gotta make sure we're on the same page with the student and the instructor. So make sure that you're asking questions, especially when something's not as clear as it may be to the instructor. Tip number nine is, look, man, no advice from people that don't know what they're talking about. I know your uncle's a great golfer, but he may know nothing about how to teach golf. I know your best friend's a scratch golfer, but he's a total toolbox and he knows nothing about, how you learn or anything like that. So, and what's funny about advice from friends and family is it normally comes from people that aren't that good at golf, right? So if you wouldn't take financial advice from someone that's declared bankruptcy three times, you're probably not likely to take, or probably not a good idea anyway, to take golf advice from someone that's a plus 20 handicap, right? So I wouldn't do it. And that includes, social media, if you would. There's way more things on social media than ever before in my life. And the majority of them are not vested in you and not specific to you. So don't worry about those. And then the last thing to consider before we get on to the actual question as to how many lessons you need is be realistic, right? I just had an unrealistic request come my way. A good student of ours, I haven't seen him in probably 6 months, a very busy man, has a really high-powered job. He's going on a trip to North Carolina. And he left on Saturday and we had two lessons back to back Thursday and Friday, right? That's not a realistic expectation to get him better, for the trip. Now we got him a little bit more prepared and I think he'll play better, but you get the point. That's really not a realistic time frame to see some long lasting results, right? So be realistic in your timeframes, if you would, with regards to the plan and what we're trying to accomplish. So what does all that mean? Well, that means you probably need, if you're a beginner, you likely need a minimum of 6 lessons. If you're looking, you're a competitive golfer and you want to, you know, lower your score significantly, you're going to need probably a weekly lesson or biweekly lesson. And if you're that weekend warrior, you likely need probably 3 lessons to tighten up things and get you on a path, at least a plan and a path that can, you know, help you enjoy the game a little bit more, give you a little bit of a cause and effect relationship that when you do X on the golf course, Y happens. When you do Y in your swing, Z happens. So that's a kind of a good guideline, if you would. And like I said, nothing's etched in stone. But that's what we recommend. The first thing we recommend as Imagine Golf, when I get posed that question, is you take one lesson, right? Come on in, get assessed, make sure that you gel with one of our 4 different instructors, make sure you like the program, make sure you like the facilities, make sure you're down with everything, and that you're okay. There's nothing left to chance, if you would, right? You got a copy of our lesson recap, you got a copy of the plan, you know exactly how we do what we do. So, and then from there, then you can take the recommendation of the instructor based on everything that we talked about. All right. Here's what we do. We're not in the business of selling packages, right? So take that as, you know, a rule of thumb, if you would, and just buy the first lesson, take the first assessment, see what you think about everything, and then we'll go from there. All right. What we don't want to do is, and by the way, we prefer you take the lessons from Imagine Golf, but what we don't want to see people do is sign up for, you know, I see all these programs. I Golf Tech comes to mind the most, right? You know, buy 20 lessons. Who buys 20 lessons, right? And has never met the instructor before, right? I can tell you that just when, again, you say that out loud, that's not a good idea, right? But anyway, you get the point, right? So one of the things, let's just go back just a little bit here. You know, in my notes here, I'm glancing at my notes, the assessment piece. Let's talk about what's included in a proper assessment, right? So you come in, you've asked us the question as to, you know, hey, Daniel, how many lessons does it take? We just went through all that, right? And we're going to ask you a bunch of different questions, right? We're going to give you no instruction for probably the first 15 to 20 minutes minimum. We're going to ask you questions on your golf history, your physical fitness, your sports history, right? We're going to make some judgments. Yeah, that's true. We're going to make some judgments on you. Are you athletic? Are you in good shape? Are you healthy, right? Those three things aren't always synonymous, right? What's your equipment look like, right? Are there any physical limitations that I need to know about, physical or mental? There's plenty of those limitations that we have to know, if you would. And then we're going to watch you swing a club from, you know, each of the pieces of the golf set, if you would. So you'll hit a wedge, you'll hit a mid iron, you'll hit a hybrid or a wood, and you'll hit your driver, right? And that's going to give us a good idea of how you move within the confines of your golf swing and how you present today, right? I know you were, you know, way more flexible 20 years ago. Everybody was. I know, you know, you're in better shape, you know, 5 years ago, before you got married, whatever. I get all that, but you're not now. So whatever you're presenting now is what we're going to be assessing, right? And then we're going to take a look at the equipment, right? Not everyone's equipment is appropriate. Ladies, you should not be playing men's clubs, all right? Seniors, you should not be playing the extra stiff shafts from your 30s, right? So, and everybody, you know, you shouldn't be playing your grandparents' golf clubs, right? I know they're sentimental, I get all that, and if it's a putter, then maybe we can get away with it. But, you know, any clubs that are more than 10 years old are suspect. Now, there's plenty of sets, and by all the manufacturers that are different, right? Meaning that there's a ping set, a ping line, if you would, or a model, I should say, that might be 15 plus years old and it's still relevant today. Just like you can get a 10-year-old car and it's still, you know, phenomenal car by today's standards. And then you can get a 5-year-old car that's a piece of garbage. So it's the same thing with golf clubs. There are definite sets that we should think about, and there's definitely sets that we should retire, or I always jokingly say donate, right? But you can't have All these things that we talked about. You can't have the goals, the plan, you know, you can't have the work ethic, you can't have all that stuff and have garbage clubs and expect to reach the goal. It's just not going to happen, right? So we got to make sure that the equipment is in line and appropriate. We're not in the business of selling clubs by any means, but we definitely make recommendations to our students around their clubs, if you would. And that's really it, man. One last thing, as far as the assessment is, we try to get the students to attach what we call anchors, right? And the anchor is something in your, the way that you move, the way that you feel when you make a movement that you could recall, for lack of a better, so that you can do it on command. So as an example, when we're in the assessment, and let's say the plan was, part of the golf swing challenge was is that they're over the top, right? The swing is, they're slicing the golf ball and their right shoulder, if they're right-handed, moves forward. One of the things that we might ask the student to do is to turn their shoulders more in their backswing and let that right shoulder kind of drop down, maybe swing more towards right field. We call it 1 o'clock, and feel that right shoulder drop down. That might be an anchor, right? They may feel something in their lower back when that happens. That might be another anchor. They may feel their left shoulder, not their right shoulder, but their left shoulder come underneath their chin more when they turn their shoulders more. And that could be an anchor. So anything that allows the student to easily feel something, or when they move a certain way, they feel something, that way they can recall that from memory pretty simply, as opposed to just saying to somebody, hey, turn more, turn more, turn more. So there you have it, right? There's the answer to the dreaded, how many golf lessons do I need, Daniel? And it's not a one-way answer, as you know, because we just spent 20 minutes talking about it. So look, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Thanks for listening. We are now, I was just telling a good friend of mine, we are now in 8 different countries and are listened to in 8 different countries. And we're like, you know, 6 or 10 in some of the, you know, like in Finland, we're number 6. Right? Not that that does anything for me here in the United States, but the podcast is absolutely taking off a little bit. So I'm excited about that. And I appreciate you all listening. Be sure to check out our site, imaginegolf.com, and you can follow us on all the social media platforms. We're on all of them. And as always, here's to getting you the game, the swing, I should say, and the game that you've always imagined.